Okay. What I didn't have add to that word, Jackie, Lord just brought to me. He said, and I don't know where the scripture is, but it talks about that we have fathers that discipline us for their pleasure.
Hebrews chapter 12.
Okay, I thought it was Hebrews, but I wasn't sure. I'll just read it. In fact, this might be a good scripture for you to have as a reference point. just a minute. All right, it's talking about the chastening of the Lord. Verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For if he endured chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." And then it goes on to talk about no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And he tells you, so lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And that brings me to another thing. This morning I was getting before the service and everything and praying. The Lord said the things that come your way are Satan's deterrents to try to get you away from doing my will and focused on your situation. Because when you're focused on your circumstances and situations, what do? You disengage with the Spirit of God and you get all enraptured in what's going on with you, right? Happens to all of us. That's why he says here what I just read. Lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees. Say, bless God, I don't care. The devil's not going to distract me. I'm going to stay on target. I'm going to obey God. That's what we have to do. All right. This is Sunday morning 1:14:24. Prophet's Corner Uncut. It's called A Temple Not Made with Hands. All right, this is Acts 7:48. It says, "Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet." The church has become so earthly minded, it is not spiritually good. Or no spiritually good. There are multiple church structures across this nation, and most act naturally and not spiritually. The spiritual is my part. They have left out my part. So I have no part in them. Is there a problem? We're not working right. My church can only be built and operate by my blueprints. When the reconstruction and reconstitution process begins, these abandoned institutions can be used to erect temples not made with hands. In other words, it'd be a meeting place. I'm taking my church back to Eden, back to the beginning before the fall. So you could say it's not the end, it's the beginning. Men will reign on the earth as I intended. All right, we're going to look at a scripture or a couple of chapters here in Revelation. It's the end of the cabal. This is the part they sabotaged in the Bible, so we thought... You know, because I thought, why, Lord, would you rapture your church out? Why go through all this cleanup? Why not just rapture them out and just let the devil have it? It doesn't make any sense why for 7 years, like up, down, it's like we're taking a puddle jumper, you know? God never meant for us to leave the earth. Not Island Hot, or Planet Hop. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. All right, Revelation 21. It's the end of the old guard that have ruled the earth since Genesis chapter 3. All right, Revelation 21. And getting the church to see that is major. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And this is the time after the 1,000-year reign. And I want you to listen to me about it, or listen to the scriptures. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. We hear this constantly. New earth, new earth, new earth, new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Here comes 12 by 12. Remember the elders? The 12, the prophets from the old covenant, apostles from the new, 12 by 12, 144. Coming down from God out of heaven, where? Seated with him in Christ, right? Let's quit being so scurdy about this book and religious about this book and put it in line with the new covenant, with the epistles. As a bride adorned for a husband, Jesus talked about us being his bride. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Are we talking about a different subject here? No. What's coming out of heaven is God's tabernacle. Know ye not, ye are the temple. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Boy, am I looking forward to that. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. How does this fit where we are? Does it fit? Everything's fixed to be all brand new. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. We don't need med beds. We don't need sonic healing machines. We don't need frequencies. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which is burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. There we be. This is a temple not made with hands. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descended out of heaven from God, whose builder and foundation is God. That was what Abraham was seeking. And having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, was precious like even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Had a great wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 by 12. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal, 12 by 12. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is of the angel. Now you talk about in line with the apostles being builders, God's builders. He's talking in architectural terms here. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold. Are we the lively stones? Uh-huh. Like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were gathered with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardis, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth the beryl, the ninth the topaz, the ninth the chrysopras, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. In other words, there is no regular building. These are people. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, for the body of Christ. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I wonder what they've done with our moon. Have you noticed the moon lately? You have seen it? Mm-hmm. Well, there's people saying in certain parts of the country they haven't seen their moon for a long time. What that means, I'm not sure. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. There'll be no trannies there. No homosexuality there. Defileth neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, were there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Back to Eden. Back to Eden. I know as coming from religious institutions, we all think it's all pie in the sky, floating around on clouds and playing harps and all this silly imagination. But right here in the scripture, it plainly says, we're going to rule the earth like God ruled it. Like he said, we'll say, we will actually be what he created us to be forever. No death, no sorrow, no pain, nothing bad, only good, nothing missing, nothing broken, peace, shalom. That's where to be. And we've made this into Star Wars. A spiritual-minded people is a ruling and reigning people. The gauge of the church will no longer be bricks and mortar. The gauge will be spirit first, renewed minds, and following the Holy Spirit. Spirit first, manifested in the natural second. Light said, Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. God said, light be, light was. A new church that looks inside to determine the signs of the times without looking at the natural for their information. Looking within instead of without, that's what got us off course. We got to listen to CBS, MSDNC, all of these fox, the sly fox. Jesus called Herod the fox. You fox. You sly fox, pretending to be good and you're evil. Yeah. Looking within instead of without. The apostle is the architect and builder of this temple, not made with hands. In a carnal church, the gauge of an apostle is by how many natural built church buildings have you built? This is what happens when it is natural first and spiritual last, a carnal church making carnal decisions about most everything. no different than the counseling institutions of the world system. They said to me, prove to us you are the Son of God. Would not the signs of the Father's work in me prove that? My apostles are here to build a spiritual house, not a temple made with hands. A spiritual house is built by laying first a good foundation. Okay, let's look to Ephesians 2:25. It isn't a 2:25. Well, let's just start. All right. Let's just start with 6. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, turn over to 3. Well, I don't know what I was writing here. Just a minute. I don't know what I was doing. All right. A foundation is sound doctrine that will stand the test of time. Huh? Two? Was it 2?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not connecting that. Okay, you're right. Thank you. Now therefore, ye are no more foreigners, strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So a foundation is sound doctrine that will stand the test of time, a structure that will weather every storm. The church should be looking on the inside to determine the signs of the times and not looking up for an escape. The leaders must get a hold of this fact that it is not a building that makes a church. It is the spiritual foundation that has been laid down. All right, now 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right. Following the Spirit may result in natural acts, and that is okay. But doing natural acts and expecting me to bless it is another matter. I will not bless what I did not initiate. Boy. The biggest challenge ahead is getting believers into a spiritual mindset and out of the soulish mindsets that they have. It will have to start with the leaders first, and then it will trickle down over my body, the church. It will be much like Moses coming out of Egypt. I have called my son out of Egypt, and now I am calling my church out of Egypt. I have given my Holy Spirit like a cloud by day and a fire by night for a witness. Works of the flesh will be a thing of the past. All right, Galatians chapter 5 tells us what those are. It says in verse 16 there, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you're inside-minded and you're listening to what's going on in the inside, you will not be partakers of what's in the outside. For the Spirit lusteth against, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. In other words, it's just the opposite, usually, against the Spirit. Which, you know, let me just say this. There may be times that God might do what you want to do in your flesh, but you need to hear in the Spirit first about it. It may be indeed He may go that way, but you need to find out and check up and make sure before you proceed forward. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, you can't walk in the Spirit if you walk in the flesh. You can't do it. It won't happen. But if you walk in the Spirit and He tells you to do what you would have done in the flesh, that's still in the Spirit. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? That's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Which I read this in the Geneva Bible. It's enchantments. Sorceries. Enchantments. That's casting spells. We've heard this many times in the Truth or Movement, exposing the deep state and pharmakia and all of that, that it's enchantments. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you want the things of God, if you're doing it this way, you're not going to get them. It won't happen. Right here. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Hone in on that peace, because the second teaching is going to be about that. Peace. Peace makes the call. You know how it is when you think you're going to do something, you keep getting this, Peace makes the call, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. In other words, they're saying to that devil on the other shoulder, shut up. I'm following the angel on this shoulder. As we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There's not going to be any of that when you walk in the Spirit. Now, you might get flack from the outside, but I'm talking about all this is what's going on the inside when you walk in the Spirit. All right. Yeah, bewitched, where sorcery is. This is Revelation 18:23. Just a second. Let me just turn there. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read this. It's the 1599 edition of this Bible, and excuse me, there are some words changed, definitely. All right, 18:23. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries bewitched. It's what they used to bewitch. That's why they stole everything from us. They bewitched us. Were all nations deceived? The Antichrist tactic. The magic kingdom. Disneyland. All nations have been deceived, and that includes the church, unfortunately. All right, now over to Matthew chapter 7. Sorry if I'm all over the place. But that's what it is this morning. Okay. Luke 7:13. Jesus is talking here, saying, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereafter." Thereat, in other words, the masses follow the crowd. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." President Trump calls it the road less traveled. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit." See, the more defined that we get in our walk, they'll only be good fruit. "Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit," or "not good, not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which pitched his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was found upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." All right. "My kingdom comes without observation." This is another passage. This is Luke 17. "The kingdom of God is in you." Yeah. Verse 20 and 21 there. Prove it, prove it, prove it. That's what he's saying here. That's what these Pharisees are saying. This is the reason Jesus said this right here. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So why are you looking out there for anything?" Observation means inspection or ocular evidence. "Well, I'll believe it when I see it." That's not faith, people. "No, I'll believe it and then I'll see it." Right? That's faith, people. All right. Now you can understand how so many, even in the church, are not picking up what is really going on today. They're so used to everything is the natural to them. Everything. So as I said in the first of it, the church is no spiritual. They're so, how did he put it? The church becomes so earthly minded, it's not any spiritual good. Right. It takes spiritual perception to rightly discern. And that comes from the inner work that we've been talking about for several weeks now. This is the only thing that matters. Now, God will lead you from that inner work to do an outward work. He did with Jesus. He will with us. But we don't just go out there and do works, laying hands on whoever we find or doing whatever, unless we are sanctioned by the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God. You better be doing that, or you're going to be like the naked ones running out of the house. You don't want to mess with none of that unless you know this is by the finger of God, right? Okay. "The whole earth is groaning at the present time for the manifestation of that kingdom within you." Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verses 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. See, we know we got the kingdom inside of us, and it's fixing to be manifested. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And this is why we need the Holy Ghost. You know, it talks about here the Spirit helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered. All right, groaneth means to moan jointly, experience a calamity jointly. We keep hearing about there's something fixing to happen, something big. All right. Even nature is acting out and doing things outside their instincts. Unexplainable things are happening all around us. All creation is reacting to this time. I have not said to you that things will get better, but I've said to you that the best is yet to come. The transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous is in process. I have laid it up for you. The beast thought it all, the beast had it all stowed away and hidden, but they can't hide anything from me. They cannot escape my judgment in their underground cities. That's what Revelation is talking about. They're going to hide in the holes of the rocks. And let the rocks fall on us. We don't have to face Jesus for what we've done. Ooh, I wouldn't want to be in that crowd. The time is coming when you will never be harassed again, never hurt or suffer any pain. You will be free to flow in the gifts I have given you without ridicule or scrutiny. Total freedom from persecution, unmolested and unhampered, just as my president has said, hold on, I'm coming. I say to you, I am coming. All will be free from Satan's tyranny. They will be no longer be blind or walk in the dark. No more blind or walking in the dark. Gross darkness will no longer cover the earth or you. Never forget that I'm in control and what is happening is by divine design. To everything there is a season. I gave my life for my church and she will be presented to me as my bride. And I read that to you already in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5.